All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Strong Booking. I just want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, McGuire Insurance Agency. Give them a call at 606-886-0008 for all your insurance needs. I'm going to hand it over to Jason for a minute while I get set up here.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. I know there's a lot going on right now, and we appreciate everybody tuning in with us this week. As long as we can be here, we're going to be here, and we hope we put on a good product. We got a lot to talk about. There's a lot that went on this week in the world of wrestling, so I'm going to turn it back over to Dougie and get this thing going.
Just 1 second here. I'm having some issues. We did have a lot of good stuff go on this week, though. AEW was off the rails. Okay, we're good now. All right, guys. Hey, Tyler. Thanks for tuning in, man.
What's up, Tyler?
Yeah, so, I talked to Tyler earlier today.
Yeah, I seen you, yeah. You guys commenting back and forth for a minute there. I slept half the day. Ain't gonna lie about it. We had a long week, though.
Sure. Yeah, it's been a little busy here.
Yep. But I just want to go ahead and start the topics off tonight. You know, we got some weird times in wrestling with everything being no crowds and stuff. It's kind of just been, I don't know, watching it is definitely strange to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's far. Like, I watched, what was it? WWE had SmackDown, I think, the week before this week without fans, and it was kind of awkward to watch, but, like, there were some good points. You know, when Cena and The Fiend or Bray Wyatt came out, it was nice. Good promo. Got me kind of pumped for Mania. But this week, you know, I watched AEW, and they had, you know, no fans there either, but they had Cody come out at first, cut the good promo at the beginning explaining, you know, what's going on and how they were going to try to work around it. And it was a really good promo, and the fact that they had the wrestlers out there in the crowd, you know, you had the heels on one side, faces on the other, and it kind of gave a little, you know, you got feedback from it. Like, they were into it. Like, you had, you know, like MJF and Sean Spears were, like, betting each match or something, you know, the way they played it out, and you had the faces on the other side cheering on everybody, and, it, you know, it was nice. I mean, they're trying to work around it. I know it's hard for them as it is for everybody else right now, but as far as the show, it was a great – you had two debuts. You had Brody Lee, who's the exalted one, and you had Matt Hardy at the end. You know, we're going to replace Nick Jackson in the Blood and Guts whenever they decide to have that. I know Tony Khan came out and
they postponed it
for right now. So I know this week they already announced that it's going to be Jericho. He's going to have face-to-face confrontation with Matt Hardy.
Yeah,
and then we'll see where that goes.
Well, they're actually wrestling.
Yeah. Are they going to wrestle? Yeah, I didn't know.
First ever match. I guess they've never wrestled each other, I don't think. From what it said. It said first ever match.
I thought it was Havoc.
No, it's Cody Rhodes and
Cody.
Yeah, Cody.
Cody and Jimmy Havoc was another announced match.
Yep. But that's the one thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, AEW. They really took advantage of it, and they really put out the best product I think you could with the no crowd by putting the wrestlers on each side of the ring like that. You know, it was really entertaining to see those guys out there, you know, just jabbering back and forth and, like you said, even betting on matches and stuff. And the way they done the heels on one side and the faces on the other side to keep them, you know, still keep the characters intact and stuff.
But I think WWE was at a disadvantage in that, though. They had to go first. You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
They had to go first. It was no blueprint, nothing. They just, you know, winged it. And then AEW kind of had a chance to lay back, see what they thought was going to work and what didn't. I mean, they come out to the better. I mean, sometimes it's better to go, you know, last on something.
Yeah, because you're right. I mean, they had SmackDown first last week.
Yep.
And then you had Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
You know, they kind of done the same thing, which it wasn't a bad episode.
They didn't know. I mean,
but they didn't know. Then AEW came out Wednesday. And, well, AEW had an advantage anyway because we all kind of knew, you know, the episode was the Exalted one was going to debut, so, you know, everybody was going to tune into that for sure. And then, you know, then you get Matt Hardy too, so that was a nice surprise. And then, but then they, I mean, WWE did have a chance to retaliate with SmackDown, but I'm not sure, to be honest, I didn't watch much of SmackDown, so I'm not sure how it went. Did you watch any of it?
I didn't watch any of SmackDown. I watched a little bit of Raw. The only thing about Raw that I didn't like was it wasn't like a whole show. They like did a little segment here, and then they showed an old match, and then they would do a little segment here and an old match. It wasn't an entire show.
The thing with Raw, too, is it's 3 hours long. That's a lot of filler time, for especially a show with no crowd. And also, they're I would say they're trying to keep as much interaction down as possible. So that's probably why they're showing older wrestling matches like that, because they don't want to put everybody in the building or everybody in the ring. So, that comes to another point, you know, that the news came out today that they're taping the rest of their shows up until they're even taping Mania. So I think that's another reason they want to go ahead and, like, get these they'll probably tape them within, I'd say, 2 days.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, they'll probably have everything taped in 2 days, I would imagine. Maybe three at the most. And they'll send everybody home. So I think that's why we're getting a recorded Mania. Do I like the idea? Not really, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think the thing I shared earlier on the page was I think they're going to do two episodes of Raw tomorrow, two SmackDowns on Tuesday, and then they start with Mania, I think, on Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah, so basically.
And then, they're recording 4 days. They're going to record at least 2 weeks worth of stuff. So, it's keeping spoilers down. That's the thing. Normal shows, Raw and SmackDown, a spoiler comes out, I'm all right with that. But like an actual pay-per-view, especially WrestleMania, it's going to get leaked out what happens.
Well, like we're talking about, Brock's up in Quebec. Stuck at the time being. I don't know if he'll stay stuck or if he'll make it. But
does he want to be unstuck?
Yeah, does he want to be?
There's a lot.
Kevin, producer Kevin had a good idea. Won't they run some little promos and stuff? Have him by satellite, and
Brock's a no nonsense type
person. Or
have
Paul Heyman come out and say something, and then they could even. Further the match with Drew all the way up until SummerSlam, give this time to...
Yeah, I don't think you'll see Brock. I just don't.
I mean, if he's up in Quebec and they're not letting people travel.
Yeah, Brock, he wouldn't have... Brock takes care of Brock first and foremost. He always has. What's best for him is what he does, and that's smart. That's why he's where he's at. So I just don't see him putting himself in a situation like that myself.
Yeah, like Tyler said, get ready for the spoilers because they're going to be there.
Oh, it'll be like it was in the early 90s.
Yeah.
I remember back then, they taped, a month like ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew everything.
Yeah, you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, you knew everything.
Yeah. So there's nothing you can really do about that. Like,
I've seen
stay off the internet.
I've seen them pre-tape after pay-per-views, too, back then. Like... They would tape some, and some of it would be after pay-per-view stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would, it'd already be taped as a new champion.
Yeah.
So, it's already out. You're new,
That's kind of like NWA, they tape every week. All their shows are taped. MLW, they're taped. So, it's not like
that's why MLW still has crowds at their shows, like last night.
There's
a crowd there.
And they still advertising the MJF. And
did you notice
Handkiller
Injustice? The white guy in Injustice was coughing and had a sore throat and couldn't talk.
Really?
Yeah, he looked sick.
Lord have mercy.
I don't want to put that out there on nobody, but
That's a couple weeks ago. I don't know when it was taped, but I'm imagining it was a couple weeks ago.
Pre-corona.
I don't know. I still haven't figured out their taping schedule. Like, I don't know if they've taped months in advance already or what's going down.
I think they're about a month behind.
Because MJF, he's still being advertised.
I seen his – they were talking about him, and it was like his his last match was recorded, I know of, about a month ago.
Yeah, they're about a month behind. Because last week they were talking about, Kobe Bryant.
So
I'm guessing they're a month behind, maybe a little further back. I don't know.
Seems like about a month and a half.
Yeah,
behind.
You're about right. I would say that's a good timeline.
So, but back to AEW, with their situation, It don't seem like, I'm not seeing anything about them wanting to do any taping. It seems like they're going to go still with their live shows.
I think.
Just, I don't know, were they doing their live shows?
The Jacksonville? Daily, no, yeah, in Jacksonville at the Daily yeah. Place. It's where they had, I think, Fighter Fest.
I mean, it's all going to come to an
right
end.
Was right there, so.
I mean, it's all going to come to an end, promise you.
That's what it I imagine. To. I mean, there's eventually.
Every state will do a shelter in place before this is over.
Yep.
And then that's it.
And then there won't be no wrestling. Yeah. So. You know, we're just buying time here, really.
In a way, you know, it could be a time for some of them to, you know, step back and punt, regroup.
I think it's a good thing. I think it'd be the best thing for WWE, to be honest. We're just,
in a way.
Just after Mania, shut it down and come back when,
yeah,
you know, the time's right.
To, I mean.
Oh, yeah, like you said, they're not going to have a choice. Yeah,
kind of reset with some better product.
Unless they all want to shelter in place at the Performance Center.
You know, they wouldn't even have to have better product because you know, well, there's an old saying, you know, you don't know what you got until it's gone.
The heart yearns for what it misses.
So, I mean, if WWE wasn't on TV for, let's say, a month, 2 months, it didn't matter what they put out. When they come back, we'd all be chomping at the bits to see it. So,
just got to let it all play out. It might come out for the best in the end. I don't know.
Yeah. Like you said, they're not going to have a choice, so. But they did postpone the AEW did postpone the Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems like it's leaning towards like they're changing and switching everything up in AEW as well, and they might go to taping.
Well, yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, I know eventually when they lay the law down, they have to do it. But as far as right now, they're going to stay open because I know Tony Khan said. He gave all of his wrestlers permission if they felt like it was unsafe for them to be out and all this stuff, they could stay home and wouldn't be punished for it, wouldn't hold it against them or anything as far as future, I guess, pushes or anything of that nature. You know, he's not going to punish anybody for wanting to make sure they're safe. So I know we got this week for sure. It's happening Wednesday because they've already announced a couple matches this week.
I know you guys see that where Joey Janela had that match. The social distancing match.
I posted that on her.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
It
should have never been done.
It never happened. Jim Cornette.
Disrespectful to everybody.
Yeah. Jim Cornette was commenting on it, and I agree with
him. I agree with Jim Cornette on this.
One time I agree with Jim Cornette, you know.
Not everything's a joke.
No. I would almost, if I was AEW, I would be like, I'd be mad.
Is he under contract with them? Is that how they
I don't know if it's full contracts.
Yeah, I think he has the Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah, he has like the
they
team,
can.
You know,
they basically go do what they want to do, and when they want to put them on TV, they put them on TV.
Yeah,
for a
they should. They shouldn't want to put that
they
guy
should,
on TV.
Right, yeah, they should. Yeah, put one, basically just.
It's one thing to expose the business of wrestling. It's another thing to expose it and make a joke out of something at the same time.
Exactly,
like that.
Right.
It was wrong on multiple levels. I think. Who am I?
I didn't even watch it. Well, I watched like the first like. Minute of it.
Me too.
Then when I seen what it was, I was like, God, this is a joke.
Yeah, Jason sent it to us earlier in our group message, and I watched a little bit of it, and then I seen on Facebook today, like, people were commenting on it, and
I watched just maybe just a few seconds of it.
To be honest, I even forgot about it until I seen Jim Cornette, you know.
I haven't seen what Jim said about it.
Oh, he was just.
Oh, I can only imagine.
He was not happy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't either, though.
It's not like Kenny Omega wrestling a blow-up doll. It was different. You know, he exposes the business, and plus it makes fun of something that's not funny. I mean,
the whole independent company and the other wrestler that was part of it, everybody that was part of that should be ashamed of themselves, to be honest.
I don't know who the other guy was.
I don't either, but
I'm sure he was just doing it hoping to what it did. I mean, put a little light on him, you know.
Yep. But it was a joke.
Not all rubs are good.
But back to some WWE, you know, with everything that's going on, we still got Mania, so we got to talk about, you know, all the feuds that's going on. And one thing that I've seen that I like is Monday night, the way Taker came out, he was kind of like a little bit out of character. He wasn't the same.
The whole world's out of character.
Yeah, boring Taker, you know, with walking down the ring. You know, he came out with just a toboggan on and with his, you know, tights pulled down. And he didn't walk out. He just came out there with a purpose. And he was, like, completely out of character. And I enjoyed that.
I don't know, man. Without the audience, God, so much is lost.
It is.
So much is lost in translation right there.
I'm just taking it with, what I can.
Yeah.
I read a thing. They said it's hard for me to watch it.
Yeah, it is for me, too.
It really is.
I didn't watch the whole thing.
It's hard for me to watch it because there's just...
I went back and watched certain parts that I wanted to see, basically. Yeah. That's it.
To me, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but when I watch it, it's just kind of a depressing thing. I mean, just to see it. I mean, I'm glad it's there for what it is, but, man, it's not... I don't know what you do.
And, you know, the biggest thing to me, like, I feel bad, like you guys were saying, for Drew McIntyre, somebody that's worked his way all the way back up to the, you know, the golden spot. Mm-hmm. And now it's getting, it's getting tarnished by
it'll never be
a tragedy. You know, there's nothing, it's not his fault or anybody else, it's a tragedy, but.
They all talk about walking out on Mania in front of 80,000 people and grabbing that belt. That's what they live for.
That's what I'm saying.
Even if he gets that belt, it's not. I mean, it's not that.
Even the Taker and AJ match, I was looking forward to that and just the nostalgia in it.
I was
stuff.
Looking forward to a lot of that on that card. Yeah. I thought that was a really good card. John Cena and The Fiend.
Edge and Randy's what, last man standing? Is that what their match is?
Now I guess it is,
So.
There's just so much there that, it would have been a...
Back to, like I said, I was really looking forward to that Undertaker and AJ matchup. That was probably one of my high points for Mania, just because I love both of them.
Yeah.
And it's just gotten, dummied down now because, like you said, there's no crowd and there's no... you don't even feel like the build-up's even there. It kind of still is there. But it would be so much better seeing Undertaker come out like that with a crowd around him,
Yeah,
people in the crowd being like...
The Undertaker entrance.
Yeah.
It's a crowd. I mean, you got to have, to get that.
Well, I don't think he's going to do that entrance. Well, he can't. But.
I mean, I don't know.
Tyler's asking us what we thought about the Stone Cold promo, and it was, it was what it was. It was kind of – it was funny just because of him and –
he needs a crowd, too.
Byron Saxon, they made it entertaining for people watching on TV, but it didn't feel right without a crowd, no. It was –
it's like they're all standing there naked, You can see everything, and you don't want to see everything.
No.
Not in wrestling.
So, but, like you even said, the Edge promo, it was like he was talking straight to your soul.
Oh yeah,
because it was
I tried to. I didn't try to make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
It was different.
You're right, Teddy. Teddy says the no crowds hurt heels the most because they can't get any heat. There's no fans there to react. And you're right. How do you be a heel with nobody to boo you?
Exactly.
It's weird.
Some of them were still trying to work the crowd.
Yeah, it's because that's all they know.
That's all you know.
They're trained that way. It's just
trained.
Exactly.
He trained for 10 years, 15 years to work the crowd.
Because that's one of the main keys about making it is being able to interact with the crowd. Mm-hmm. If you're not over one way or the other with the crowd, you're not going to be anything, really. You're either going to be a face or a heel. There's not really that. There's no in-between. Well, I guess that's what they call like a jobber, I guess you could say, somebody that comes out and
enhancement talent.
In my opinion, I just wish they would have canceled WrestleMania altogether. Just let it be.
Or postponed it to later.
But Kevin was, me and him were talking earlier about that, and I guess there's a bunch of insurance to that, and they would be out all kinds of money if they canceled it for good. So I don't know. It's just weird.
It still might get canceled. I don't know. You just don't know.
Teddy's right. He's talking about MJF still managed to be a good heel with no crowd, but AEW,
they had a crowd.
They went a different approach with bringing the wrestlers out.
They had a skeleton crowd, more or less.
Yeah, and it was, and they made it in. They did make it interesting. I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed that episode of AEW a lot.
It shows the creativity they got there.
Yeah, they're just creative. And,
I still think that goes back to what we talked about. You got wrestlers over everything, and they know what's
young,
smart wrestlers. That's all they do. Like,
Yeah.
I watch a lot of, like, you've got me turned on to it, that being the Elite. I mean, that's all they do. Those guys have wrestled from the time, like, Cody always says all the time, I didn't go to college, I didn't do nothing. He goes, he grew up in it, his dad done it, his brother done it. You know, that's all they know.
That's all he knows.
I mean, it's...
He's going to be useless in the new world.
Yeah, I mean...
What's he going to do for us? He ain't going to be...
Producer Kevin actually asked this question. He said, after all this is over, you know, hopefully, you think there could be a redo of a lot of the WrestleMania matches on SummerSlam?
I don't know. I just like the whole redo of the year so far. It's been rough.
There's so many questions and so many, like,
nobody knows
unanswerable
nothing.
Questions.
Like, not just in wrestling, but in the whole world in general.
But yeah, like in history, though, you do get a lot of rematches from Mania at SummerSlam for the most part. I mean, it's...
Yeah, you're supposed to get them at Backlash, remember?
Yeah, but...
The in-between pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But
who knows?
Who knows?
Like, Teddy said, Matt's debut ended up being better with no crowd.
I mean...
And it was a pretty cool little debut, you know. And that's another thing me and you were talking about was AEW had such a good show, they blew NXT out of the water.
Yeah, it was
like ratings this week. It was just like not even close, and so. But also, everybody knew the Exalted One was coming, so you know a lot of people were tuning in for that, for sure. Nobody really knew about Matt, but we kind of knew Matt was. You know,
I was still one of those people who thought Matt at the time was going to be the Exalted One. They kind of started at first thought he was going to be.
I wish
then,
he was,
and they were kind of pushing
still
it off.
Like him better.
Hey, but Brody Lee's promo, way talk. You know, WWE never let him talk that way.
He done good.
And I thought, you know, in general, I mean, I think he's a good fit.
That's my only knock on Brody Lee is he doesn't look the part. I just can't buy into him looking the part as an Exalted One.
What's an Exalted One look like?
I don't know. Just to me, it don't look like Brody Lee. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just my opinion.
You're entitled to that.
Yeah.
I just don't think.
I think the Exalted One should have been a little bit more like
Matt Hardy looking.
They kind of gave you that with his outfit.
Kevin Sullivan looking.
No, definitely not Kevin Sullivan.
Who the Exalted One look like?
I think it should have been like somebody like Christopher Daniels or somebody looking a little bit just more. Because Brody Lee to me comes off a little bit too like grungy.
A henchman.
Yeah.
With the muscle grungy. Behind the Exalted
yeah, exactly.
One.
He don't come out as a leader.
He's too big to be, you know.
Not really too big, just as the beard, the long, you know, scraggly hair. He just don't, like, look like
you're
a clean.
Like a Charles Manson-looking guy to slide out there.
No.
He had the man bun. It wasn't all frizzy.
I want, like, somebody like Triple H, like, clean suit.
That would have been a twist.
That would have been a twist, right?
Yeah, that would have been a heel
turn. I'm just talking about somebody, you know, like a clean suit. Just clean, you know, cleaned up. But, nah.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
He did have the Matt Hardy jacket and hood on for the most part. I mean, it looked just like what Hardy, close to what Hardy was wearing. So I don't know if that was a swerve.
I don't know.
I'm glad they at least, like, you know, he cleaned up a little bit. He used to look like just the dirtiest person when he wrestled in WWE. I hated that so much. I don't know why. All right. Let's see here. Is there anything you guys want to talk about, you know, from this week? Oh, they're talking about Gronk. I forgot about Gronk being on SmackDown.
Who?
Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
I could really,
he's a nut.
Yeah, it don't really mean nothing to me.
I mean,
that's just, see, Tyler Spradlin said it right. He said he's a follower, not a leader.
Who?
Talking about Luke Harper. You just don't have that leader quality to me. I don't know.
That's the way that WWE is you know portrayed him. That's the way they want you to, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's what's going on.
You
I'm
know,
still
give
like,
him time.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean,
who knows? That's right.
This time next year, there might not even be any wrestling. We might be fighting in a Thunderdome for a bologna sandwich.
I don't know. This is the Thunderdome. You're in it. I'm going to go ahead and take this chance to thank our sponsor again, McGuire's Insurance Agency. You can give them a call at 606-886-0008. And to be quite honest, I'm tired of talking about all the negativity going on right now. So I'm just going to go straight to the pillar to post and talk. You know, we're going to talk some old school, just kind of lighten up the mood a little bit. And if you guys got anything you want to talk about, send us comments and we'll talk about it. But the first thing on my list, I'm really on a big Taker kick this week. So I wanted to ask you guys, what's your favorite Taker character? You know, he's been in quite a few different things in his 30 years, so.
That was the Ministry. Taker was my, which that was me being faction-oriented guy. I love the Ministry. I mean, that was just, that was when I was real big into wrestling, though. That was during Monday Night, you know, the wars and stuff. So I love the Ministry of Darkness Taker, that darker version, like cult leader, you know.
You consider that different than just the regular Undertaker?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
He had followers.
Because he had followers. Well, that and his character was a little bit more. That's when he opened up a little more. He was talking to me. He was like, his mic skill was a little different than from the original Taker, you know, we got beforehand.
Yeah. And I guess in the end, he really
was a character change.
In the, you know, in the end of it too, he really wasn't the leader when you, you know, at the end, it was the higher power was Vince McMahon. I mean, it was kind of like Vince controlling him, but he was controlling everybody else, you know, it's kind of.
Well, he even came out with a different look, you know, you can consider that, you know, his look was different and everything. What was your favorite Taker?
Probably just an Undertaker, just when he was by himself.
Yeah.
When he had his title, his second title run, when he, like when he took on Batista.
Okay, yeah, you're talking about when he came back as.
Just his, just his, I guess you called his second.
My favorite one would be, you know, like, he came out as American Badass gimmick, but then he went kind of, he branched off from that a little bit more, even went to, like, just a Dead Man Inc.
Yeah,
it was a little bit different. He had the Dead Man theme, which I thought was like was my favorite Undertaker theme. So that was probably my favorite gimmick. It was after he cut his hair, had the short hair, and it was just about right before he went to the back to the Undertaker. You know, the true.
I liked his first one too.
The very first one.
Yeah, when he came out at Survivor Series.
Yeah. I figured that's what I figured you would like the most.
Well, I didn't know, you know.
But she kind of like
Mark, the mean Mark Calloway in WCW was good with the heart punch. I liked it.
Yeah.
When he was with the Skyscrapers was good. I liked that with Dan, you know, Dan Spivey.
Tyler Spradlin asked, "What's our predictions for Mania?" Well, I think Edge will go over Randy.
That's probably a given.
Yeah. I don't know. I think.
I don't know. I mean, I think it
well,
is.
That's,
I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and say Edge will go over Randy, but I think AJ will go over Taker.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell you about.
I was all for Drew going over Brock. I thought that was going to happen. But now, you like Jason made a good point. That match might not even happen. Yeah, we don't know for a fact.
I don't see that one happening.
No, I don't but
either. Of all of them, I don't see that
one. I think they could postpone that one for SummerSlam just because, like he said, Brock's out for Brock, and he wants that.
Yeah.
He wants fans being there buying his merch along with
I think the they'll postpone attraction. The whole show, but I don't know. Who am, you know, I don't know.
The WrestleMania?
Yeah.
So you still think they might postpone it and not do the recording?
Yeah. Just like you was talking about for insurance purposes.
Yeah.
You know. You once he decides to move it to Performance Center, that'll cover his insurance. If he can prove that's a no-go, then he's good. He just had to make one move, you know what I'm saying,
you're
to
right.
cover that.
I wish they would postpone it. I think it would be better off just postponing it and
I would
it ride
rather
out.
See a Madison Square Garden in June, like they were saying myself.
Or even, I don't care if they wait till. I don't care if they cancel it and just go to Summer, you know, make SummerSlam the big event this year. I'd rather just not have it.
I don't know about that.
Well,
Mania is the first one they ever had.
Well, I know, but I don't even know if they could have it in June with the way things are going. You know, New York's one of the
one of the first ones
that
shut down
right now for this. So.
Yeah, but
it could all be over by June, though.
Yeah,
you don't know.
First one hit, first one recovers.
Yeah,
we
really don't know.
But, you know, if they do it with no crowd, unless we do a watch-along, I probably won't watch it.
No, I won't.
That's my crowd. What, like, recording?
Which, we did say that it's going to be free on Fox.
I saw that earlier. Fox is probably going to show Mania.
So.
That's
good.
I read that Fox is going to broadcast it live, you know, both days, Saturday and Sunday.
That's good.
You know, it's...
It's hard not to watch then.
Especially if it's free, you know.
Especially for quarantine.
That was part of it, though. Like, I seen some more. I was reading. It was a whole big article I was reading today on ESPN, WWE, Fox, and WWE. Tonight ESPN's showing WrestleMania 30. I know they're showing.
Yeah.
ESPN's going to start showing Manias, what was voted by fans as, like, the greatest Manias of all time. They're working their way down the list.
ESPN is?
Yeah. 7 o'clock tonight. WrestleMania 30 is supposed to be. You know, starts at 7, goes off probably around 11.
It's bad when ESPN runs out of stuff to show.
I saw that pop up earlier when I was watching. I was just flipping through the channels, and it popped up on the breaking news thing on the bottom that ESPN was. That's not what was advertised to show on ESPN. It was just something that kind of come up here in the last few hours. But as far as 7 o'clock tonight,
that's good.
WrestleMania 30.
I think at this point we just got to play all the stuff coming up in the. Next, you know, the few events coming up by year.
It's changing every day.
It's all subject to change. It's all subject to change. And, we might not be able to do a show next week. We don't know. I mean, you just don't know at this point.
Well, I did get totally off topic, but as far as us go, as work goes, I did see right before we came on that curbside restaurants and deliveries will still be going forward.
So we'll still be able to work this week.
That's a good thing. I did see that before it came on.
People need to work during this. I understand it's bad.
Well, we seen, like 20 minutes before we came on, we seen that they were, like, shutting down the, we thought they were going to shut down everything but grocery stores and pharmacies and gas stations. But then we seen, like, 2 minutes later that more things like bookstores and stuff were going to be open. So luckily we're still going to be able to do the curbside systems here at the restaurant. But since we're on the topic of our favorite taker, I just want to ask you guys, what's been your favorite or just some, that you can remember, a gimmick change that you just really enjoyed? Like, a lot of wrestlers have changed gimmicks over the years, and there's been some big changes. You've had your Canes go from a dentist to Kane, stuff like that, but there's been some that's just been like, we, like John Cena, he was the Dr. Thugonomics, and he went to the Never Give Up John Cena.
The Army John,
yeah. So what would be some of your guys' most rememberable or favorite, gimmick changes?
I would say the biggest one would probably be Ringmaster to Stone Cold, wouldn't it?
That would be the biggest one, yeah. That one pops in my head.
What about Hogan
one.
To Hollywood Ooh, Hogan?
Oh, gosh, that's so good, too.
That's
right there with it. I mean, yeah. I don't see.
Nobody saw that coming. Know. That was a big change.
That was a good one. Sure was.
Then you had, another one that really just, he transformed himself was Triple H, back when he was Hunter Hurst.
Paula, that was a good one, too.
Yeah, it was a good switch up, and somebody that's really been able to reinvent themselves over the years, especially, throughout the 90s and then all the way in the 2000s, was Sting.
Oh, I'm glad. I thought you was going to go with somebody else.
Who did you think I was going to go with? Say it.
He's waiting on me to say it.
I thought you was going to say Jericho.
He was waiting on me to say it.
No.
Well, that's too obvious. That's too obvious.
What'd you say, Sting?
I said Sting.
It's a good one, too, yeah. Oh, when he went with the Crow Sting.
Went to the Crow Sting.
That was good.
I would like
to see him come back one time.
You even credit that he went to the NWO Sting. That was the Wolfpack Sting, so it was kind of
We need a Surfer Sting one time.
In TNA, he had...
Yeah, that would be cool.
He had two different versions of himself in TNA, the...
Mm-hmm.
Main Event Mafia Sting. He wore the suit, no face paint, sunglasses, and then he had the Insane Clown Sting where he did the Joker type face paint.
Yep.
Made himself look crazy.
So Sting was always really good at
it. Yeah, it was a good one.
And I've seen an interview with Sting, and over here, like the Joker Sting, it was okay. Like, we liked it and stuff. Like, most people were on board with it. But, like, overseas, people ate it up, he said. Like, he would go overseas and do stuff, and people were loving it. Clay Jamerson just sent me a message and said, I don't think we're social distancing. I guess we're too close to each other right now.
Yeah, well, you know, objects on film appear closer than they are.
That's right.
That adds 10 pounds, too.
Adds 10 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, also, well, heck, we work with each other daily, yeah, we're, so we're not going to be social distancing for a while. We just have to trust each other to stay
I want
to
talk about something we haven't even brought up that we've all watched this week.
What?
The Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
With Benoit.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
I didn't want to talk about that.
You didn't want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Gets him tore up.
I mean, it's emotional.
For sure.
It is. I mean, I don't think.
Especially like just.
Yeah, I remember Eddie. Watching the news around the clock when it first happened, you know, with Benoit. I remember when it happened, you know, when they announced that Eddie had died. But then you get the
background stories on
you
it.
You hear Vicky talk about, you know, Chris showing up at her house and all of that. Sad.
Or, yeah. You know, Chavo.
So, so sad.
You know, Chavo finding Eddie and Eddie dying in his arms. I mean, that got me, like, there was so much going on, like I told you, I was in a glass case of emotions during the whole thing. Like, just one second you were kind of pumped about what they were talking about, and the next second somebody's dying. And
Mike said, no, Doug, you won't talk about Benoit. It's a different case. We're talking about the Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah, I mean, that was part one, too. Part one didn't really get into the murders.
No.
It was a build-up. It was just talking about Eddie's death and how that related to Benoit.
Yep.
And I don't.
Well, basically, it was just a build-up to how Eddie and, you know, Chris
became. They all were together.
How they became such good friends and stuff.
It looks like, from just watching the video, that, you know, it took its toll on Benoit.
Yeah, like that.
Does that make it okay? No.
To be honest, I never realized.
Does that make him a better person? No.
No.
This makes it an emotional story.
Did he do it?
Did he do what?
Or did Kevin Sullivan do it?
No, Benoit did that because he was a bad person.
Yeah, you're right.
He was an awful human being. And even Jericho says, you know, he tricked us all.
Yep.
Yeah, he said if he lined 100 people up against the wall and told me who, if I could pick one out that was going to kill his family, I couldn't do it.
He tricked us all,
you know.
Yeah.
And bulls.
But yeah, you're right, though. I didn't realize, well, I mean, nobody, I guess, besides
the people. It sounded like Sullivan was a bad person, too. I mean, not to that extent.
Oh, yeah, Sullivan.
You know, but
apparently he's
the sad person in the whole story is Nancy.
Yeah.
Poor
right.
Nancy suffered, sounds like, her whole life.
Yeah, she went from,
you know,
one crazy
was
guy.
Was she
to
a
another.
Good person? I don't know.
But sound
probably
like,
not.
Yeah, you know, well, like you said, Benoit had us all fooled. Because apparently, you know, they made it sound like at the beginning that he was a good dude. And like, you know, he had a little bit of a, like, attitude. But it seemed like he was a good dad and stuff. But I don't know. But
they always, and it, plus they kind of laid the groundwork to even from the beginning, he wasn't exactly right. Like when Chris was, you know, when Jericho was talking about him doing the 500 squats because he thought he messed up.
Yeah.
Is that normal behavior?
No, not really.
I don't think so.
And like they went in the good, you know, good background. Jericho was talking about it too during that was, that's all Benoit ever done and the damage that was on. Like, even that doctor said the damage that was on his brain after the, you know, the autopsy or whatever, but his first paycheck was wrestling, his last paycheck was wrestling. I mean, he never done the bumps and stuff he took over time.
Well, Tyler even said, you know, Benoit had diaries from Eddie's death to then that they was writing letters to Eddie. I never really realized it, and I don't think most people, none of us would, besides people that were, you know, really knew Benoit, like how much it affected him when Eddie died, because I didn't realize it until I watched, you know.
Death affects everybody different.
Yeah.
I've known people that's lost people, and they never was the same. They let it, you know, they never was the same person after that.
Yeah.
You know. And then, I've, you know, it's just what it
is. It's almost like it was, you know, like him losing a lifelong partner. Type thing, you know, it was like how he took it.
People react different. People react different to death.
You're right. But not just that, like, people react different to death for sure, but the way he reacted to Eddie's death, it seemed like that was like the one person.
Extreme case.
Yeah, he like, him and Eddie shared a connection that he shared with nobody else. Like it was that strong.
They're, you'll never know the truth.
So you'll never know the truth.
They're both gone, you know. There could have been more to it. Who knows?
Another, but just speaking of Dark Side of the Ring now, it's going to be a really good season. I'm pretty excited for all the episodes they got coming out.
Vice does a good job on whatever they do.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
Vice does really good.
Vice does a fine job.
I'm not sure. When does the second?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay.
Yeah. It's a 2-hour premiere. I'd say they'll show
the rest of this one.
Well, they'll show the one that they showed that they already posted on YouTube, and then they'll show the other hour of it, I'd say. Because it's a 2-hour premiere.
Yeah.
So, but there's some, like, farther up on the season, you know, there's some other good.
Oh, I've seen a lot. I've seen New Jack and all those guys are going to be on there. You're going to see a lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the New Jack
one. I can't either, man.
Yeah. I've watched so many videos of New Jack, shoot interviews, matches. Why he's not in prison, I don't know.
You're right.
He does not.
I never knew much about him, to be honest, until you started talking about him.
He has more problems than, I mean.
Who even tell you about him? Like, he don't care.
No.
You got me turned on. I started watching some stuff on him. I mean, he's.
He's wild. You know, he said it on many interviews, you know.
He's got four.
He's going to kill him.
You know? He has the tattoo. That's the one thing that popped up on me. I was watching. Actually, I watched Beyond the Mat this week. He has tattoo on his chest for 4 justified homicides. He goes, I had the right to kill. I mean, you know, he's obviously he's killed people. There are 4 of them that we know of.
Well, I've seen.
You know, it's just.
I've seen New Jack in person multiple times and watched him wrestle. He ain't even a wrestler.
Yeah.
New Jack just never, I mean, clothesline, big right hand, not a wrestler, just
beating on people.
He was a character.
Yeah.
He could cut a promo, you know, that was really good if, you know, in the right spot.
He stabbed a guy like 9
times. He done good in the South, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was, he could get heat in the South. That's what he was good for.
Definitely get a bunch of heat.
That's what he could do.
Stabbing people in the ring.
Yeah. Look at that mass transit incident if you want to see some wild stuff.
I've seen that one. Yeah, I watched that one.
Or the, was it Indian Joe? Was that what the guy's name was?
Yeah, the Indian Joe.
Yeah.
But the mass transit, that was the one where the kid had never even wrestled.
Well, that was his, that was that kid's
fault.
Yeah,
it was kid's fault too, though. He was.
But the other ones was New Jack's fault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody asked us, I think it was Tyler asked us, what's the best heel to face turn we've ever seen?
Heel to face?
It says best heel face turn, so I guess you go either way with it. But, I mean, well, Hogan's, by far is the best ever.
That was great.
Man. Heck, I don't know. There's been so many.
It's hard to pick a good one. That one's so good, it's kind of hard to even get anything close to that.
Big Show's probably the best at it.
He just wait till he got every day.
Every day.
He wakes up different.
Yeah.
Well, Jericho the same way. One day everybody's cheering him, and the next day he just turns Jericho by just a change of a facial expression.
He transcends it right now.
He's
venturing into like the popularity of a Stone Cold type character.
One that I remember a lot.
He's way up there.
Hey, I tell you what I love. This is out of the topic, but I was watching AEW as he was coming out. You know how the crowd's been singing the song?
Well, Sammy
started singing.
I watched it.
That was great.
Yeah. And he didn't even say, you know, I don't know if he didn't know the words or he acted like he didn't, but it was good.
It was good. It was just.
It's the little things that, you know, it's good.
But definitely, you're right, Chris Jericho, he's transitioning into that. He's. Star, superstar.
Yeah.
Just took him longer than the others. I don't know, though. Chris Jericho's always seemed like a star to me. What do you think? Even in WWE, man,
he didn't even start like WCW.
Star, man.
I know, but I would consider him on Stone Cold level 5-10 years ago. At least 5 years ago. No,
what
10.
Are you? What are you? Even, what are you considering a Stone Cold level? Like how much you
in
liked
wrestling?
Him? How much you liked him?
No, just
or
in
how
wrestling.
Much? How much merch he sells and all of that? I mean,
I definitely would say he sold just as much merch as Stone Cold. Right at it, couldn't be too far off. I wouldn't imagine.
The one thing I get,
bro.
Yeah,
I don't know either.
I mean,
but
But
when it's not even like merch sales or stuff for me. It's just how he can, because he is one of my all-time favorites, but like how he can adjust to every generation that he's wrestled in.
Yeah, he's
it ain't
that.
Got nothing to do with merch. He can
well,
he can make himself work no matter how old he's getting into what generation he's wrestling.
But every time
in,
he right? comes out or come, you know, took some
in
time
the
off,
business,
came back.
That's how they determine it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not about how many titles you won. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not about how good you can work.
Yeah.
When they talk about, you know, the biggest champion of all time, they're going strictly on draws. Yeah. Who sold the most?
Yeah.
Who had the biggest pay-per-view buys? And when Austin was at his peak, they were hitting, you know, six and sevens. Now they're lucky to hit a one. You see what I'm saying? I remember.
What do you hold that solely to Stone Cold, or just base that on like fans just
that
kind of deteriorating over the years?
I don't know. Because I remember, I've watched wrestling my whole life.
Yeah.
And I remember when nobody watched wrestling. You know, people made fun of you, more or less, you know. Like, and then about the same time that when Austin hit his stride,
mm-hmm.
and then the NWO hit their stride, it went through the roof.
Yeah.
Everybody had Stone Cold shirts.
And I'm not knocking Stone Cold, because I think he definitely had a part to do with that.
Oh, he done all of that.
You know, he had a big part of that. But I also think wrestling just in a part of itself took a big boom during that time as well with the NWO.
Exactly.
And you know, you
but
just
to
had
take
everything.
A big boom, someone has to
someone
start
has
it.
To start it, yeah.
Was it You're Hogan right. and NWO or Austin? I don't know.
It was.
It was one of them.
You could go ahead and say it was just a mixture of both.
I mean, it could have been.
That.
Yeah.
But, you know, you
could've
got
been.
The Raw,
You're right.
D-Generation X, that whole, you know,
well,
time frame.
Yeah, that kind of yeah.
They everyone had
the Rock hit his stride a little bit later. Yeah,
but
for a minute there, it was Austin. He was
Austin.
Packing it all. Yeah.
But I was just going on the as far as stardom. You know, Chris Jericho. You know, not right when he hit WWE, but not long after. You know, he's been a star ever since. You know.
Well, they tried to make him into a superstar.
Yeah. I thought when he won
the title by beating both of them at one time, they were trying to make him a superstar. Yeah.
And like Jason said, you know, he's always been able to reinvent himself.
Well, like even like I liked him in WCW before. Like I know he cut that good promo when he went in, when he debuted in WWE, but like the 1,004 holds. I mean, just
holds,
he had his Jericho security, and they had those handwritten shirts. I mean,
Rufus.
When
he had a Rufus.
I mean. He's made himself over, and then like I liked one of his interviews I watched and the reasoning he went to AEW instead of going back to WWE. He said he wanted to help build a company make wrestling continue on.
Yeah.
And like he knows his name was big and that was a big sign for him, but he's putting I know of his money into it as well, as long as the other guys are as well, but he just wants to build it up with these younger guys. And I think that's why he's taking like guys like Sammy and guys like that under his wing right now. Like
definitely Sammy, because
Sammy's, you know, just try to
future.
Well, he wasn't going. You know, he was pretty well, you know, staled out in WWE.
Yeah.
It's not his fault.
No.
They just wasn't going.
That character just wasn't.
They weren't going to let him do no more.
He left and went straight to New Japan. Started the Painmaker gimmick, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like. Just that hardcore side of him, which he wrestled there before, and he probably had matches like that over there before that nobody's ever seen.
With him and Eddie wrestled.
When Eddie was Black Tiger, is that what his or who wore the mask over there or something like that?
Yeah, it was,
it was Black Tiger or something.
And
Eddie wrestled
Jericho
him.
Was,
yeah.
What was Jericho?
Lionheart.
He was Lionheart in WCW too.
I thought, you know, you find out something new every day. I thought it was cool that he really liked what Benoit and Eddie was doing over New Japan, because Benoit was some kind of animal character over there, too.
Pegasus Kid.
Yeah, Pegasus Kid. You know, he was trying to, like, be them, so that's why he come up with the line art. So I thought that was pretty neat. Somebody asked just a question up here. College Price said, I'd say all 12 Big Show turns. I'd say there's more than 12.
Yeah.
He turned two or three times in a night.
Yeah, his gimmick is a turn, ain't it?
Yeah, he definitely. I mean, I guess, I guess they kind of used
towards
that.
Towards the end,
it was kind of a gimmick, really. You never knew what Big Show was going to do. So, that was kind of cool. Anybody got any questions for us? We're getting down to the last 10 minutes here. I just want to answer some questions. You guys got anything you want to talk about?
I wanted to ask Jason what he thought. Did you watch MLW?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch MLW today. I ain't going to lie. So
a little bit today.
I watched a lot of wrestling today. I woke up early and started. But I thought it was a pretty good show. I don't know why I don't watch it every week like you do. So it's kind of like, is the Rip Von Erich, is he just ripping off the Von Erich name?
That's just a joke.
He's just joking, dressing like him, acting like, okay.
Yeah.
I just thought it was
Filthy Tom Lawler.
Yeah. Which they got
filthy
on the new.
Filthy Tom brought him out to make fun of.
Okay. Which I know they've got them a new part of the Filthy family, I guess. King Mo joined them at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And
there was a long segment there I thought was strange in the middle of that show when they were cooking and stuff.
Yeah, the La Park, L.A. Park and La Parca doing the cooking. I fast-forwarded through that.
That
I'm like,
so
I didn't watch
strange.
It turned into wrestling for a cooking show.
I thought I'd went on to a commercial and couldn't get out of it.
But like I like the Von Erich.
Was Killer Cross on there this week?
Yes, he was. That's and he's advertised for next week as well. I think
that's
when
why
it's going off. That's
so,
you know, because he's officially signed with WWE for almost 3 weeks now.
I know. Who knows? That show, I don't know what's going on.
Who
there.
Who knows?
It's but weird.
They're so far behind on that show. I don't know.
Yeah,
they had who is it? They advertised Brian Pillman's wrestling next week. I think was
I
like his.
He's wrestling
The white dude
white
from,
guy
Injustice.
From Injustice.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Coffee.
They That'd tried to fun. Attack him this week and cut his hair.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cut his mullet.
Don't cut my hair. Don't cut my hair.
You know, that's one thing I don't understand is they're like, Brian Pillman Jr., he's a two-time Rookie of the Year. Two-time Rookie of the Year? I mean, they got Rookie of the Year last year and Rookie of the Year this year. From PWI, which is what Dave Meltzer, ain't it?
Yeah.
How do you get?
how
does that happen? I don't know.
Tyler
asked us how Ring of Honor is going to be able to do through all this with no crowds. Like they're barely survive with crowds. So I don't.
That's one thing that I don't know a lot about.
I think
never
right
really
now.
Got into Ring of Honor.
I used to, but there ain't nothing to get into it.
I think it's hurting a lot of like if you can support like. I see a lot of people we follow and people we became friends with since we started this podcast, you know, independent wrestlers.
Yeah.
If you can support them, I guess, in any way, like buying a shirt or something like that, you know, that helps them out because a lot of their dates, every day I see them on there, this show's canceled, this show's canceled, you know. These guys are trying to make it, but right now with being able not to do crowds and stuff, I mean, they can't put these shows on.
It's not going to hurt your independent promotions. It's going to hurt them a little bit because they're not going to be making money. It's going to hurt the wrestlers wrestling in that independent motion because they're not going to be making any money. So they're the ones affected the most would be the wrestlers. So you're right. I think you do. If you know, if somebody out there that you really enjoy watching or in the independents, try to support them by, you know, if you can, buy a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, me personally have made pretty good friends with, I know, at least 10. 12 that I had no idea who they were when we started this were able to message and become friends and stuff, but I just try to do what I can to support them if I can afford to buy a shirt off of them, something.
Yeah.
You know, because I know
like,
that's
well, how... you know, they're not going to be wrestling because there's no crowds to wrestle for, and they're not... Those type of shows aren't going to do a no crowd show because...
You probably get paid at most any promotions by the gate. Abraham's there, that might determine how much you get
too,
paid. Like, I watched a lot of, you know, stuff on YouTube, and those guys say, you know, some nights you get paid $25 up to maybe $100, according to what gate comes in. So, I mean, you know, that's what they're working for. You know, they're putting their body and, you know, life.
There's a lot of, you know, your independent wrestlers, too. They have side jobs, so hopefully, you know, they get to keep, you know, working those side jobs unless they get laid off from them as well. But it's definitely going to – it's going to affect everybody. You know, economy wise, we're, you know, me and Jason are fortunate right now, but everybody else is getting affected a little bit. And I don't really know.
I mean, it's just we're taking it, like I said, one day at a time. We're hoping maybe, you know, to be able to do the watch-along here on for Mania if it goes on as planned, do a watch-along for
– What is it? 2 weeks, I guess?
Well, yeah. 3rd and 4th, I think.
April 3rd and 4th. So, yeah, I mean, if I go, you know.
If all goes well and we can be here, we'll do it like we did the Rumble show. We'll do a two-part watch-along. We can do the first – I guess where they're breaking it up, where they're doing like four matches each night or something like that. So
they have they're doing it.
I think it's four or five matches each night. Yeah, they. I shared a thing what the original card was supposed to be. No, first night I think you're getting Brock and Drew was on the first night.
Is it going to be 2 hours long each night? Or longer?
Two and a half, something like that. Two and a half. But like, you got a couple, and then the second night was The Fiend and John Cena was on Sunday. I knew that. Edge and Orton were on the second night. So, but that's to be determined, too. We don't know how that's going to plan out. They might end up showing the whole thing on one night. So, just have to wait and see.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You know, it's been a – it's kind of been a weird week, weird episode tonight. I really don't know what's going on as far as, you know, you don't – it's day-by-day basis on wrestling. And without no crowds, it's hard to watch. Like you said, you know, it's hard to watch.
I
liked watching AEW this week, but I can't watch WWE with no crowd. It's just not been the same. They said it's sad one night of Mania isn't as long as one night of Raw. You're right, Tyler. I can't remember the last time I watched a full episode of Raw.
I recorded it this week just to see what it was like with no crowd. And
did you watch the full episode?
No. I watched the three or four segments they had and fast-forwarded through the matches that I'd already seen, so there wasn't no point in watching no pay-per-view matches that I'd already seen. So, you know, I just fast-forwarded. I didn't record SmackDown this week. I just kind of read the results on it. And I guess the biggest draw on that was Gronk debuting. And honestly, from the video I watched of it, wasn't nothing worth watching.
I could care less about Gronk debuting in SmackDown.
Gronk Mania.
Yeah, I guess he's a host of Mania.
Yeah, he's hosting Mania.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's a joke. He needs to go back to football. Go sign down there in Tampa.
It's possible.
That is possible. You never know about old Gronk. God, what if he did? Bill Belichick, he'd probably stroke out. That's another thing. There ain't no sports on. I've been lost all week, really. I don't know what to do. Biggest news I got all week was Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. You know, a couple of other trades in the NFL and stuff. Had Hopkins go to the Cardinals. That was pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that. My Dolphins, they signed like every defensive player there was. That was kind of exciting.
I just got the update from ESPN that Mania just kicked off on there. So if anybody's out there has nothing to watch tonight, WrestleMania 30 is on ESPN right now.
WrestleMania.
So
I'm going to go ahead and
stay in.
Thank our sponsor, McGuire Insurance Agency. Give them a call at 606-886-0008. I want to also thank the Pressburg Pig and Poke and High Tech Signs and Graphics.
Yep.
For, you know, they
thank you, Rick.
Make our shirts, our banners, and they allow us to come in here and do our shows. So thank you, Rick, and I'm going to go ahead and say you've been booked.
Stay in, stay safe, and God bless you.
Yes. Prayers for everybody that's affected by this right now.
You've been listening to the Strong Booking Podcast. Your hosts are Jason Hughes, Dustin Dougie Campbell, and Jason Papaw White. Your producer is Kevin Horn. This has been a production of Hat Media Services.